Let's get started. Okay, so listening to the sound of your voice. We sang that this morning, and we basically, that's been kind of our theme in terms of if you're going to get right down to the bottom line of how do we find times of refreshing, how do we rethink work, how do we rethink rest, how do we rethink play, how do we rethink what's our call in life, what are the roles we're called to, how do we execute those with joy and peace and refreshment, and then constantly get up in the morning and be able to think, today's a new day, it's a new season, I've got new mercies. We do it by listening to the sound of his voice. Bottom line. Every series I've ever taught, every lesson I've ever given, every counsel I've ever received from the Lord, it comes really down to that. I know that when I see somebody give a testimony about God appeared to me in a swimming pool, or when I hear them say he spoke to me through his word, I know that I can die on the way home and think, yay! That person has been imparted the greatest gift I've ever been given, which is knowing that God still speaks. That is my prayer for all of you. That's my prayer for your children and for the people that you love, is that they would know the sound of God's voice. It's got a distinct ring of truth and power and love to it that is like nothing else. And to think that he'll sing over us, wow. Now that's something I know that to be true. I believe that to be true. That's not something I've really tapped into and experienced a lot, but y'all, I want a testimony in that. And I'm asking God for, to open my ears to his song. And I pray that for each one of you too. So we just, we've got to make the choice, though, and I think all of us, preaching to the choir this morning are making the choice to settle ourselves down, to come in, to open the Word of God and let the Spirit of God speak to us through His Holy Word, and to choose that by faith over all the distractions, all the noise, all the voices that come against us. So, I know for me, sometimes the greatest battle is from within. And Galatians, we know in chapter 5, it tells us that the flesh, our old nature, wars against the spirit. So we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. My first point is going to be the battle. Because if we're going to rethink work, our roles, our call, there's a battle going on, y'all, between our flesh and the spirit. And I want to start kind of where we left off last week. Last week, if you remember, we looked at Genesis chapter 32, Jacob. And Jacob was really struggling. I mean, he was on the right path. He had heard God's call in Genesis 32. He had gotten his marching orders from the Lord to go back to his homeland. But he admitted that the work he was doing, the work of his hands, he sent it out before him so that perhaps his brother Esau might accept him, because he was afraid of Esau. He had fear of man. And we saw that, not only do we struggle and have a battle with fear of man, but we also have a fear of lack. We have a fear of not having the resources that we need to fulfill the calls that are on our lives. And then we have fear of failure. We don't want to mess up. We want to do it perfectly. We don't want to have that risk of shame. And so I think possibly Jacob was battling all of that. I don't know, but we do know he said that about his brother. And so he's not doing what Moses did. I think maybe the most powerful thing about this rethinking work, the concept for me that is the most powerful, is the way Moses dealt with that huge impossible call on his life, and looking back on how it was, sometimes it was way ugly, sometimes it was pretty exciting and miraculous, but he had a very it was checkered in the sense of how it looked, but at the end of his days in Psalm 90 verse 17, he said, oh Lord, I'm lifting up what I brought, what I gave you, the best I had, wasn't perfect. But Lord, would you confirm the work of my hands? It's really, unless you're touching it, unless I'm laboring with you, then it's not going to last. It's not going to, you know, mean a whole lot for very long if it's not done that way. So Jacob, you know, Jacob was struggling. He was battling, like we all do, to stay in that stance. You know, Moses didn't stay in that stance for his entire life either, did he? We can read his Genesis and find that out. So anyway, let's go back now to Jacob and look at what happened after that episode. If we, you know, what's really exciting, I mean, I'm just going to kind of give you the preview of where I'm going with this, is that Jacob was in a battle with fear. He was in a battle with all that insecurity within himself, all of our insecurities, all our wants and disappointments and dreams and all those things. And what happens here is that we see that God met him there. And that God not only fights for us, you know, we talked about him coming on that white horse to fight for us. His name is Faithful and True. But he also fights with us in the struggle. So I'm going to start reading in Genesis 32, 24 and read through 32. So then Jacob was left alone. And I thought that was kind of a word for us. We could just kind of stop right there, couldn't we? And just say, you know, he got all of his kids sent ahead. He got his wives sent ahead that he sent them on. And then he was left alone. He got still. And so there he is. He's by himself. And a man with a capital M wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, in other words, when God saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." That was the angel of the Lord that said that. But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Love that. So God said to him, "What is your name?" "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask me my name?" Because he had just said, "You've struggled with God." I mean, duh, right? "Why is it you ask me my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because God touched the socket of Jacob's hip and the muscle that shrank. Now, I pasted this out of the New King James Version, which is kind of my default version. I don't know that I'd ever seen it written that way before, the muscle that shrank, but I like that a lot. So going back to the first part of the chapter, you know, Jacob's busy about the call of God, we said. He's returning to his homeland. He was listening to the voice, which we said is our vocation, and it is our life's work to listen to the voice, which is God's voice. But I don't think he could probably sing, trust, and obey with integrity like we did this morning, because I'm not really sure that he was, you know, completely trusting. He was obeying, but he wasn't trusting. He was hindered. He was crippled, if you will, in obeying God's call because of all those other voices. And so when he got still, he was able to get in touch with God. And God visits him. I thought it was really noteworthy. You know, we've talked about new seasons. We've talked about times of change and times of transition and how those have their unique challenges. And I thought that was very interesting that that's when God visited Jacob, is in a time of transition. He was struggling with the changes he was facing. And y'all, you know, that's such a, you know, it's kind of a trite thing to say, but that's the one constant in life is change, isn't it? So God, it wants to meet us, I believe, in our struggles of toward change and the work, that new things He's calling us to, and that He will even enter into a wrestling match with us in this battle for being people of integrity, like Jacob wanted to be. And what Jacob did, I think, is a very, refreshing in and of itself. He was honest about his struggle, and he voiced his struggle, and he didn't let go struggling and battling until God blessed him. And y'all, I think that is so, so wise. That's how you are a person of integrity. If you remember all the way back to the very first lesson, Nathaniel is the person that said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Jesus commended him and said, now there goes a man of integrity. He was giving voice to his struggle and his battle on the inside. Jesus said, that's integrity. So that's what we want to do in whatever call, whatever work, whatever role, whatever thing that we want to follow Jesus in. We want to wrestle with God and battle with our flesh until He blesses us there, because guess what? That's when rest comes. That is a place of rest. And what we see happen, I thought it was really neat that in the NIV it said it this way. In verse 28 it says, then the angel of the Lord said to Jacob, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. So he overcame his half-heartedness. He overcame his fear of man. He overcame his double-mindedness. All those things shrank. And isn't that what we want? I mean, I want those muscles. See, I've got some muscles built up that rehearse what people are saying, or rehearsing what it looks like, or rehearsing how they're not getting it. I mean, there's got to be some strong muscles in that category. In my, I'm battling fear, or battling perfectionism, or battling whatever it is you battle with that's the part of your flesh. I want some of that stuff to shrink. And that is what happened for Jacob when he actually, with integrity, struggled with and wrestled with God and did that battle. That's the battle that makes for transformation. And cool, what I thought was cool is that God gave not only one but two outward representations of that transformation. He called him by a new name and honored the fact that he contended with God and prevailed. I mean, that was what his name now meant. That's that guy that contended with God and prevailed. And then secondly, he was outwardly, every step he took in his journey of following God looked different. That's how I want to do. I want to have a battle with, God. I want him to wrestle me down to the mat. I want him to bless me. And I want the way I walk to look different because of it. And that's what happened for Jacob. And so I saw this and I thought that was really cool that he left that legacy. And this little episode, well, I think it was a huge episode in Jacob's life, was mentioned in the book of Hosea. Listen to this verse. This fired me up. Hosea 12:3, and in the Message it said about Jacob, he tried to get the best of God. He tried to get the best of God. And y'all, I think he got it. I think he got the best of God. So let's talk about what is the best. I've been waiting to get to this all year. I'm so excited that we finally get to say the best. Okay. I want to turn to another biblical character. And I want to talk about this. So we want our battle. Let me make the transition here so you know where we're going. We want to battle with all that's coming against us from the inside and from the outside in such a way that we get blessed and find rest and God's best, okay? Let's use an example from Scripture, from Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38 in the NIV. Y'all are Luke 10, 38 through 42 NIV. Yes, we finally get to do this. I wasn't sure we were going to get to it. And Jesus and his disciples were on their way, and he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Y'all, I think there is, I mean, y'all could probably find 1,000 sermons and devotions on the internet and probably 2 dozen books in the women's section of the Christian bookstore about Mary and Martha. I'm not going to teach it the way they teach it because y'all all know that. I'm going to just say I have found that teaching sort of frustrating my entire life. And I know, you know, God has made us all with a spectrum of temperaments and giftings and calls. And I love what he says in 1 Corinthians 12 about, you know, it's a good thing we're not all ears, because then we're with the, you know, who would be the feet if everybody was an ear, and who would be the, you know, all that stuff. In other words, he's made us all differently. We all have different roles. We all have different calls. We all have different strengths. We all have different preferences and temperaments. And so I've always been so frustrated when I read this story, because I'm thinking, but Jesus, what about all that work in the kitchen? What about all that? So this summer I was at the lake. I took 5 days by myself at the lake, and it was awesome. So I really can be a Mary at times. I mean, I crave that. I've got to have it, or y'all don't want to be around me for very long. Everybody knows, give mom her space, okay? She needs to have a 2-hour quiet time. But so I got a 5-day quiet time. It was really incredible. And when I was at the lake, you know, you talk about work, this passage has got to come up. It's got to. It's just a must-do passage. And this is what the Lord showed me. I was so fired up. He said to me basically this. He said, "Kathy, did you notice what I said about what Mary did? Listen to it again. Mary has chosen what is better." So it's better, Martha, to sit at Jesus' feet and listen than to fret and to worry and to complain and to compulsively do and assume and all that. But I didn't say that what Mary did was the best. And I went, "Oh, you didn't say what was the best. Well, what's the best?" And let me tell you what the Lord has. This is my personal word. Y'all can take it or leave it, but I'm taking it. That this is what Martha did right. She did what Jacob did. She voiced her issues. That says voice, my voice, plus the voice, or God's voice, equals the best. I don't know about Mary. What I do know is that Martha led her to a better place later in Scripture. I'm going to go back to this for a second, though. Martha could have gone and sat down at Jesus' feet. And she could have been sitting there, sitting at his feet, and doing this, and putting a Bible verse on it. But what we know about Martha is she's thinking, "What the heck? What about lunch? I need to know about lunch, God." She couldn't hear Jesus until she was heard. So I thought, that's good stuff, God. That's really good stuff. He's inviting us to come to him with all of our stuff about all of our roles and say, go to Psalm 71 sometime. I'm not going to have time to read that whole psalm. But it's all over the Psalms about giving voice to your questions, to your frustrations, crying out to God and saying, "Hey, wait a minute. What about lunch? Hey, wait a minute. What about the grocery store? Hey, Wait a minute, what about this person that I'm resenting the hooey out of? I can't listen to you because I'm so stinking mad at them. That matters to God. So we're not going to be able to hear the voice until he hears my voice. So that, I felt like, was what he said to me, Kathy. That's the best. So whether you're a quiet Mary type and it looks that way on you, or whether you're a mouthy Martha type, same work needs to happen in your style.
And Cassie, are you saying it's the best because it's done with integrity?
Exactly.
It's obedience with integrity.
Yes, it's that battle. You're doing the battle. The battle is won when your voice, when you come away heard. It's the I feel but God says. Except for the, yeah, I mean, except for instead of the I feel but God says, sometimes, you know, sometimes the temptation on that is to go, I feel really rotten here. I feel really resentful here. I feel really overworked here. I feel like I hate to cook anymore. But, okay, you know, and then we'll slap a Bible verse on it, serve one another. Okay, Jesus, here I go, serving one another. But, you know, that's all of that just kind of get shoved to the back and you just go forward doing your work without really dealing. That's what I believe. That's how integrity happens. That's how you let God and you do that battle until he blesses you with his voice, which is the greatest blessing of all. I hope that makes sense. And what we see about, and I'm not dogging Mary. I'm really not, because if it were not for the Marys in my life, where would I be? I love the Marys of my life because, I mean, obviously, I'm not the Mary type. I do sit at the feet of Jesus, but I have to really discipline myself, and I have to get in my spot, and I have to get in my mode, and I have to, you know, to do that. But if you look in John chapter 11, and you don't have to go there, but y'all know the story of Lazarus and how they did send out a help signal to Jesus when their brother was sick. And you see that when Jesus finally showed up 4 days later in John chapter 11, in verse 21, Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She did it again. That was her style. She said, I need to be heard. Why, if you'd been here, Jesus. And Jesus gave her a voice, and then he spoke into her situation. So she had her voice and the voice. And when she did that, y'all, some of the most comforting words of Scripture for all times, you can hardly go to a Christian funeral without hearing the words that Jesus spoke into her life in that moment. In verses 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Wow. You know, so that's some pretty good stuff. And so then not only did she get her gigantic word from Jesus that is a legacy she leaves to all of us. I mean, who thinks of that as being Martha's legacy? Well, hey, hello. That's her. Had she not said, then we might not have heard. And so guess what she did after that? She ran to get her sister Mary and said, hey, Jesus is here. And then you know what Mary did? Bless her little soul, little quiet old Mary. She came up to Jesus, and you know what she did? She said, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother might not have died. And you know what? He spoke to her too. Well, actually, what he did is it said, Jesus groaned. I'm not sure he did speak, honestly. I didn't look that carefully at the passage. What I did make a note of is that when Mary voiced her grief, Jesus groaned. And then it goes on to say, he wept. That's that little verse that's so famous. That was in response to Mary's voice. Wow.
He connected uniquely, individually with each one of them based on their temperament and what they needed from him.
Yes, indeed. That is the best. That is the stinking best. So let's all not skip that step of voicing it. Okay, let's talk about the test. And this is, I don't know, y'all, I'm just writing on the board what Jesus tells me to say. I don't know if any of this is connecting with anybody. But the test. Okay, so you know, remember we said back probably about 3 weeks ago, 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that at the end of time, our works will be tested. You know, we all die, we all get to heaven, we'll come to the judgment seat, and our works that we did in the flesh, not in the flesh, that's kind of got a wrong connotation, but the works we did while we were on earth will be tested with fire to see if they withstand the test. This is not about salvation. This is not about your eternal destiny. We're all of us who are in Christ, that's not in question. But it is in question about, are we doing the Lord's work? And when I say that, I don't mean teaching a Bible study or Bible club or reading a Bible verse to your child. It doesn't have to be, quote, spiritual. I'm saying the Lord's work, as in, I heard the voice, I heard the call, I have the call on my life to do this as my work. And because I'm following Him, it's going to last. So the test, I think, comes when, at the end of time, but for us, let me just say what I'm doing, and y'all are welcome to join me. Thank you for joining me. Is that I want to live my life in such a way now. I want to look at my work in such a way now, all my pursuits in such a way now, that I'd like to have the pretest. You know how like the teacher hands out like a packet that you work through? You know, and you're really well prepared for that test. If you work through that packet, baby, you're going to make a good grade on the test. I want to work through my packet, and we have got a one great packet. And so, you know, God gives us some things that are kind of like things to say, okay, now you want to know about the quality of your work? I can give you a few little pointers right up front here that'll tell you, not the Lord's work, or that the work's been contaminated or infiltrated with some toxic things from either inside your flesh and your motives or from the outside world and the enemy. And I was thinking about this example on the way over here. I felt kind of icky for about the last 24 hours. And every time I work at this one particular drugstore, which is where I worked yesterday, y'all know I work in a retail pharmacy in my day job. And this particular store where I stand is right, I stand with my back to the drive-thru window, which in some stores is like so great. You just think, oh, I can feel the fresh air. That feels fantastic. But this particular store sits at a real busy crossroads, and it's not that far from the street. And I noticed about 3 times ago that I was there, I felt kind of queasy, because this is a busy, busy store, and the window is open all day. And it finally hit me about, like, last time, oh, I think I have breathed in so many toxic exhaust fumes that I'm getting that kind of, like, thing. And so I was praying on the way to the church this morning about, Jesus, I still feel kind of icky from breathing in all that toxic stuff. And He goes, and that's the exact same thing you do with all that toxic stuff you breathe in from the world and all those lies Satan wants to give you. And I thought, oh, yeah, yeah. Because I feel like my head's a little fuzzy. I don't have the clarity I want. And I'm a little bit nauseated because I'm thinking, you know, there's something really gross about that. Y'all, isn't it the same way when we breathe in the toxic lies of the enemy, when we buy the just total farce of things that the world tells us is what has to be true of our work or our pursuits? Okay. You know, I'm feeling like I need to mention one that we haven't mentioned a lot as my little example this week. And that is, I guess, probably for, especially for women, I think it's true, but I guess it's no different for men, is that so much of our work in life, especially in the kingdom of God, has to do with our relationships. You know, the Westminster Confession says that the only two things that last for all of eternity, the Word of God and the souls of men. So much of the work that we do is investing our time and energy in other people, whether it be in a marriage relationship, whether it be in a parenting relationship, whether it be in you're taking care of and honoring your parents, whether it be your siblings, whether it be your prayer group or your neighbor. Your relationships are a huge part of the work you're called to. So, we've been talking about how we spend our time and energy. Golly, that's a chunk. So I haven't really said it that way. So this week, as I was praying about, Lord, do I have a testimony to offer? He said, you can tell them about your marriage. And I thought, oh, okay, what are we going to say about that? And it was interesting. It's really not much of a story other than just to say this to you. That let me read this verse, and I think this will help. Okay, this is the verse that God gave me in my counsel time. He said, go look at Titus 2. And then I picked it up in the Amplified, and this is what it said. It says, be a model of good works that are, and I'm supposed to represent, and he listed these adjectives, unadulterated, showing gravity, having the strictest regard for truth and purity of motive. And I thought, ooh, that last one really kind of got me. And, I don't think any of us would willingly in any of our relationships or any of our roles go about pursuing shoddy works flippantly, falsely, pretentiously, for appearance sake, and from impure and selfish motives. I mean, who's going to sign up to just start to do that? But y'all, the truth is that those things slip in. And so those are some of the toxic things that we take in. And so I know that as I was sitting there with this list God gave me of things I could check off as far as tests, okay, I'll just give it to you, grumbling. I know. And if you want to look at the list, it's on the very back page. Grumbling, it says, do all things without grumbling and fault finding. Okay, it's 8 lines long, but I can just stop there. Do all things without grumbling and fault finding. Yikes. Okay, so the test, I'm going to tell you, I'm not making an A+ in this. That tells me that it's been infiltrated with some stinking thinking. Secondly, and let me just tell you what grumbling means. It is, y'all, this is from Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. It is a secret debate or displeasure not openly avowed. Yikes! And I was thinking about that voice thing. I thought, God, that really kind of does go with that. I'm not going to go to Bob and say, okay, Bob, I've got this secret displeasure with you, and let me openly avow everything that is I am finding fault with in you. No, I'm not suggesting that. What I'm saying is I need to take it to the wrestling mat with the Lord. Okay? So we got grumbling. We've got anxious toil. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. The third one is compulsion. I'm going to read this one from the Message. I want you to have all the time you need. And I think it was really interesting how this one came out. I felt like it was really, really interesting. It goes back to that battle that we face. 2 Corinthians 9:5-8, the Message says, I want you to have all the time you need to make this offering. Remember, we're offering our work up to God in your own way. I don't want anything forced or hurried at the last minute. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. So again, I think it's that stop. Let's take time. Let's take time to really think it over with the Lord. Let's take time to really lay it before the Lord. Let's take time to really offer it up to God and let Him speak into it. The fourth one is worldly standards or definitions. And y'all, I'm not going to read the verse. I'm just going to say, warning, 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 warning. If we let everybody else, what we see on television, what we see in the magazines, what we read in the romance novel, what we see on the movie, what we see that we think is happening at our neighbor's house or at our friend's house, y'all, I'm just going to tell you, that is going to mess you up. Just saying. What he does say, I'm going to read the last little phrase there. Friends, stay where you are called to be. God is there. Hold the high ground with him at your side. And do we even need to say selfish? Selfish. I said it. I'm going to tell you about a little incident. So I'm miffed with my husband. I'm fault-finding. I'm grumbling with him over the weekend. He is not measuring up to my worldly standard. Okay, so right there, you know, I'm not passing the test. But I am doing the integrity thing. I'm going to give it a voice, baby. I'm going to err on that side. What I want to make sure I do is that I listen to the voice. And the voice spoke to me in the sweetest, sweetest way. And I'm going to tell you this that you might already know, but I'm going to tell it just in case you don't know, that the last blog post I sent out was one called Take Me Higher. And it had the verse Psalm 61:2 on it that says, Lord, take me to a place that is higher than where I am. And right under that, it had a picture of a helicopter. Okay, so I'm standing on the elliptical machine at the JCC getting my workout in, and I'm kind of grinding it out, and I am fault-finding, and I'm irritated, but I've got my praise music going, and I'm just saying, okay, God, now here's the way I'm thinking, and da-da-da-da, and I'm just having myself a little come-to-Jesus meeting right there on the exercise machine, and I always try to pick a time when nobody's there so I can get my business done. And so I kind of got it up, and I kind of got it out, and I felt better for having said, and I'm doing, you know. And all of a sudden, I look up, and it's like nothing. There's nothing. Please, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. Okay, now that I've said, I'm so sorry for being selfish. I'm so sorry for fault-finding and grumbling. That's in that list you gave me to put in the lesson, and I'm doing it. Lord, I don't want to do that, but I need to just say, and what am I supposed to do about this anyway? And so I'm standing there, and I'm just not listening, but I'm kind of humming to the song, and I look, and y'all, a helicopter flew right in front of the window. I promise it did. And I went, and I just busted out laughing, and I went, that is the best answer I could have ever gotten. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. And I thought, Lord, take me to a place that is higher than where I am. There is no way that I will fulfill any call on my life without grumbling and fault finding. There's no way I'll do it without it being tainted with selfish motives. There is no way I'll do it not under compulsion. There's no way I'll do it without worldly standards unless God takes me to a place that's higher than where I am. There's no way. I just thought, oh, that is so the answer. Thank you, Jesus. So I don't put this list out here to condemn you. I love being reminded that Jesus did not come into the world, it says in John 3:17, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And the word saved means delivered. That we can be delivered to a higher way of seeing things and thinking about things. We can rethink our marriages. We can rethink our friendships. We can rethink our relationship with our kids. We can rethink all the things we've signed up to be a part of. And ask him to take us to a place that's higher than where we are and let us see it the way he sees it. And I was so blessed. I want to say one verse, and then I'm going to read two verses and then close. One is in the area of relationships, 2 Corinthians 8:5 says this. They first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us after the purpose of God. They first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us after the purpose, it says in some versions, the will of God. So again, me coming to God, doing that battle, hearing His voice, which is the best, and then letting Him take whatever toxicity has creeped in and minister to it. And this, it says in 1 John 5:4, is the victory that has overcome the world. That's where this battle is, y'all. When we get to heaven, we won't have to deal with this toxic fumes anymore. But this is the victory that has overcome the world. It's our faith. It's our faith. Okay, so I would just encourage you to let the angel of the Lord battle, you and Him battle until He blesses you with the best, transforming you with His touch. And this is Psalm chapter 130, and this is from the Amplified Bible. And I'm just going to read this, and then I will pray, and we'll write our one thing. Out of the depths, Lord, I have cried to You. Lord, hear my voice. Let Your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If You, Lord, should keep account of and treat us according to our sins, oh Lord, who could stand? Our list is so stinking long. But, verse 4, there is forgiveness with You, just what a man needs. Thank You, Lord, that You may be reverently feared and worshipped. I wait for the Lord. I wait expectantly, and in His word do I hope. I am looking and waiting for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. I say more than watchmen for the morning. O people, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy and loving kindness, and with Him is plenteous redemption, and He will redeem His people from all their iniquities. Father, we do just confess to You that we've let so many selfish and fleshly and worldly and material and critical thoughts invade the space that we really want to be set apart and holy to You, Lord. We confess that. We're vulnerable, Lord. We've been exposed to a lot of toxic fumes in this world. But Lord, I thank You for that strong word, that it is our faith that overcomes the world. And so, Lord, I pray You would rise up faith in us, Lord. Thank You that faith comes by hearing and hearing by Your word. Thank You that this psalm we just read said that we can bring our voice to You, it can rise to Your ears, and then You can take Your glorious, powerful word. And Lord, You can give us hope there. In Your word do we hope, Lord. In Your word do we hope. I pray, Lord, You would fix our hope on Your word, that You would take Your word and that You would take Your Holy Spirit and marry those to our specific situation, whatever thing we are facing, Lord, that we may be struggling in and doing battle. Lord, I pray that we would wrestle with You and battle with You until You bless us, God. Thank You that You're not in a hurry, just like we read in 2 Corinthians, that they took time. Paul urged them, take the time necessary. And God, who is able to make all grace abound to you, will always see that you have an abundance at all times and in every way for every good work. So, Lord, we just ask You to make that true of us in our relationships, Lord, in our work in ministry, in our work as mothers, in our work in the marketplace. Lord, we ask You to bless us. Thank You that You're a God whose heart is to bless. And so, Father, we wait on You expectantly, knowing that if we will stay in process with You, You will bless us. And so I just bless each one of these women with waiting grace, listening grace, hearing You sing over them grace, and with muscles that have rehearsed lies and worldly standards to shrink, God, in the presence of Your love and of Your fresh words from heaven. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.